thank you that forever you shall reign. Lord, forever united with you, Holy One. Forever, Lord. Holy One, you grace us with your presence. You invite us into fellowship. We are honored, Lord, to worship you outside this morning, Lord. We are honored, Lord, to lift up your voice. Because, Lord, we're the church.
Yes.
Not the building, Lord.
That's right.
This group of people, Lord. These relationships, Lord, that you've established, Lord. This is the church. Holy One. We're the church, Lord. Lord, you're building it. Lord, and you say that the gates of hell won't prevail against it, Lord. Holy One, forever united in your name, Lord. Oh. Holy One. Holy One. Holy One.
I just hear him saying he just wants us to draw close this morning. Close to him, close to his heart. He doesn't want us to just sing songs or just go out and do good things for him. He just wants us to be close to him, and everything else flows out from that. We are the joy set before him. He went to the cross for us so that we would know him, that we would be able to have a close relationship with him, with the Father, with the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we thank you that you are here with us this morning, that you are close, you are not far away. And we abide in you as you abide in us. We abide in you. Thank you, Lord.
In Acts chapter 2, it says, towards the end, on the day of Pentecost, says, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And just goes on and talks about the vital church growing, and as we're out here together just thinking about that, just says, those who gladly received this word were baptized, and that day were about 3,000 souls added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Father, I just thank you for this promise that's to us, it's to our children, to our children's children, to all of us, Lord, that it's a promise for our families, Lord, it's a promise for our friends, it's a promise for the generations. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you that as we gather together, Lord, that we can be that vital church that worships together, that loves together, that ministers together, Father, that grows together, that sees your kingdom come, Lord. Lord, that we would eat our food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising you daily, being together and having favor, Lord, and that people would come into your kingdom, Lord. It's all about people coming to know you, Lord. That's our heart's desire, because what you've done in us, because how you, Jesus, came and sacrificed for us, Lord.
Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread which comes down of heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also, which I will give for the life of the world, is my flesh. Then the Jews began to argue with one another, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me will also live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread will live forever. He obviously was not talking about the disciples coming up and taking a bite out of his arm or killing him and drawing blood to drink. Some people misunderstand that, I believe, in Scripture. We're not here to do that. But what we are here to do is become totally absorbed by his flesh, by his blood, and everything that he has done for us in the past, in the present, and will do in the future is contained in the Word of God. And he is the Word, and he's the bread of life. So when we take these elements, it's not a symbol, and it's not his natural flesh that we're eating. It's not his natural blood that we're drinking. But it's fully Jesus Christ that we are communing with and connecting with, who we become 100% absorbed by, which means that our spirit that reigns inside of us, if it reigns, it's supposed to, is him. And his bread, his life, his flesh, his blood rises up inside of us so that our spirit will rise above everything else that's around us. Rise above the confusion, rise above the distraction, rise above anything, any relationship, any circumstance at all, and that will be governed internally by him, completely by him. And that's what he did on the cross so that we could partake in him today. And if we do this, even every day at home, if we're not physically in the building, we are strengthened in the inner man. And so as a body, corporately, when we come together and we do that, we're strengthened in the corporate inner man here, representing what God wants to do for us here and around the world. Because the Lord is saying, I want to take you to the nations. I want you to have a global heart, a global view of, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would never perish but have eternal life. So this desire inside of us stems from him completely capturing us, completely saying, if you lay your life down for me and consider it rubbish and nothing else matters other than me, then you will live. And so this is also a way to continue to say, yes, I believe you. Yes, I receive you. Yes, I will lay my life down and die for you. I will shed my blood for you. I will endure persecution for you. I will do anything. I will go anywhere. I will sacrifice for you. I will not put up my little boundaries. I will not build my little kingdom. I will not say, no, I'm just not going to do that. I will say anything you say, Jesus, that I will do for real. And when we take the body and blood of Jesus in this fashion, then we are saying, I meant it then, and I mean it even more now. That's why it's so sacred. Because when Jesus says, I'm the bread of life, there's such depth to that, that when he feeds us, he expects us to walk in the fullness of the resurrection. When he said, Lazarus, come forth, when he said those words, he could have blown that stone out of the away from the tomb, but he didn't. He told people, go remove the stone. Children will be drawn into that awareness as we run with it so strongly, they can't help but follow. They will be drawn into that because they will see that that's who we are created to be. That's who we are. So this is a new day for us. So when God said, Jesus said, Lazarus come forth, he said, those grave clothes, they're coming off. He came forth wrapped in his grave clothes. So today, before we take these elements, remove the grave clothes so that we can walk in resurrection life. And do you know when Lazarus, I was rereading these scriptures again, the ones that are so familiar, do you know about 8 days later or so, there was a plot to kill Lazarus? It's like, this is ridiculous. Not only is this crazy Jesus upsetting all of our society, but this guy raised from the dead, we gotta get rid of him. So you can be sure that if you are filled with resurrection power, you can be sure that if you're filled with resurrection and life, that the enemy will try to get rid of you, get rid of your testimony, get rid of your boldness, get rid of your courage, get rid of everything that you said. That's who I am. I'm all in. That's who I want to be. That's who I declare I shall be, and nothing will stop me. If you've ever felt that, if you've ever seen that, if you ever embraced that, be sure that the war that we're in is absolutely weighty. And it's absolutely intense. Don't kid yourself with living in the West the way it is. Don't kid yourself with living in, I'm bringing heaven to earth. Don't kid yourself in the comfort. And I'm not a doom and gloom. I love family and friends and fun. Don't get me wrong. But I'm saying that when you take this with this kind of message, that you are inviting that target to increase in your life. You're inviting that because that is the nature of the ones who say, I believe that he said, I am the resurrection and the life, and that he who believes in me will never die but have eternal life. Think about that. It's weighty. And so we have the privilege of doing this every day. The privilege of saying yes. The privilege of saying, that's not Jesus. We have the privilege of defending him. He doesn't have any need of that. But he's saying, who will stand for me? Okay, someone that I got to know a little bit that changed my life again. I told you about right after I got back from Mozambique. A man who went in and out of prison for 10 years and suffered tremendously. And there's a story behind that. But one thing I found that he didn't say that was in his book, someone who understands what it's like to just say, Jesus at all costs, joy of Jesus no matter what. He said that someone turned away from their faith. Somebody who was in prison. Somebody who couldn't stand the persecution. Someone who said no and denied Christ to whatever degree. It was actually put in his cell. And when he saw that, he didn't coddle him. He said, no, you have to say no. You have to say no to anyone who would not honor Jesus. You cannot cooperate in any way. And he was so intense about it, he was hitting the wall in some fashion, and his hand started to bleed. And with his own blood, he wrote no. Just say no. That impressed me. It humbled me again. So this is a day of deeper humility, of saying, Jesus, I want to do it your way. So Lord, with that heart, with this amazing group of people, sons and daughters in the faith, with those who will say, my life, Jesus, at all costs, my life, I lay it down. I will love you. I will serve you. I will follow you at all costs. For those who mean that, which I hope and pray is all of us, that we would partake in these elements. Let me tell you, if we say yes to Jesus, if he's not all powerful, who wants to follow him? We have to believe that he's that powerful, that he's so powerful that he's the one that will open the prison doors that we just heard about in Acts. He's doing it now, but he's doing beyond that, and he's calling us to say, embrace every part of who I am, and every prison door in your own life will fall. Man, that woman's intense. You better believe it. For Jesus. And may that intensity spill into all of us, and may your intensity spill into me, so that we can run this race and not shrink back at all, because it's an intense race, and we can't let go of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in that endeavor, in that intent. I just got a text this morning. Can someone get my phone on the table right there, please? And I just got a text this morning from Sandin Dayton, and I told her, thank you, and I told her about something that happened with someone that I know that is fighting a terrible disease with major tumors in the body, cancerous tumors in the body. Part of that tumor fell out.
That's right.
Supernaturally. So I told this friend about that. That's power. That's resurrection power. That shouldn't happen. Well, the medical community will say, well, yeah, sure, you know, it's kind of disintegrated a little bit, so it'll fall out. Are you kidding me? Seriously. So I told this friend of mine about it, and her husband had a mass behind his eyes, and it was pressing on him. They couldn't identify what it was. This is just in the last week or two, okay? And it was so bad for about a month. The quality of life was horrible, and this man is an OB-GYN, and this man, obstetrician and gynecologist, this person had to continue on in his job. It was having a really hard time, and they couldn't figure out what it was. They were trying to go through every possible disease and say, well, it's not that. They couldn't figure it out. So I started telling her about this and started praying. And this is what she said today. There was an initial surgical attempt to try to remove something up the nose. It didn't do squat. It didn't do anything. And this thing was large. And they still didn't know what it was. Okay? This husband, his name is Rich, felt so bad he thought he needed to go see this guy. You and I prayed God would stop anything that didn't have to be done. Didn't have to be done means that it could have been done, but it didn't have to be, and that God could do something else. Okay, that's where King Jesus, the power of Jesus, came in. Amazing. The doctor. On our way to the appointment, there was a traffic tie-up that backed us up an hour. The doctor couldn't see us if we were that late, so we didn't see him. 2 days later, this is after this little surgical procedure to try to go up there and dislodge whatever was there they couldn't figure out. 2 days later after that, he felt worse. But we were praying about that. He decided to blow his nose, even though he was told not to. He says he'd never done anything like that before. She didn't put in here, but she was telling me on the phone last week or so. She said there was this unction inside to blow his nose as really hard, and it was one of the most painful things he ever experienced. It wasn't a normal blowing of the nose, whatever that looks like. And so it lodged whatever was here against his brain, behind, by his eye. Okay? It lodged it. We had prayed the night before that God would have, now listen to this, God would have whatever it was back there to fall out. A simple prayer like that. After he blew his nose, which hurt very bad, something fell into the back of his throat. He coughed it up and out. And it was a huge blood clot about 10 times the size of this tumor thing that was behind the eye and near the sinus. 10 times. He said his headache and eye pressure immediately started going away, and he's completely and totally healed. If we get into, well, can't doctors be used? If we go that direction, we're missing what this is saying. This person held on to what Jesus did for somebody else. This person said, yes, this was miraculous. Yes, this is the resurrection and the life. Let's pray that. And that's what Jesus responded to. You see, so God has us in process, and he tells us, pray through these things. This is our King. So when we say, Jesus, take the grave clothes off. I give you my grave clothes so that my spirit will rise above all else in my life. It's with that heart that we come and take communion. Because this is King Jesus, who hung the stars and the planets in space, who took care of the solar eclipse. It is all about everything else that we're doing. And he's saying, I want your eyes to be expanded. I want your understanding to be increased. I want you to see me for who I am beyond what you've seen me to be before. With that heart, let's take communion. And please, it just, in my heart, and Pastor Bill's, we love these little children as though they're our own. But if they're really not walking in the road of Jesus, give them a break. Let their spirit respond so that when they take communion, it means something. It really, really means something. Okay? Sometimes it's okay to say, not right now, honey. It really is. Even if we have to back up. You're looking at a very imperfect parent and a very imperfect grandparent. Okay? So sometimes we have to back up and go, wow, this is revelation. So take the revelation and ask the Holy Spirit what you need to be doing on that. Andy, can you just pray over the elements?
Father, we just thank you for the stirring in our hearts, Lord. Stirring in our hearts, Jesus. Lord, we just bless these elements as representations, Lord, of your body and your blood broken for us. Lord, we bless and we thank you. As we partake, Father, that there's transformation. There's transformation, Lord, that takes place in our hearts, Lord, with alignment, with healing, Father, in our bodies. Jehovah Rapha, thank you for your blood, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Bless it, Lord.
We didn't have a sunrise service for Easter, and we didn't plan this service as a sun, S-O-N, rise service, but it ended up that way. On the way to worship practice today, the Lord said, why don't you greet the people that come with worship outside? So we spent some time in sharing and prayer. We didn't do any worship practice, and instead we just let the Lord challenge our hearts as a worship team. And then I told them, and now you will go outside and you will greet the people with worship. And they came outside and they greeted you all with worship. And Pastor Mary Pat didn't have any idea that was going on, and she decided to have communion out here.
Well, the Lord told me that this morning when I woke up, but I didn't know he was doing this.
So it's much more fun when it's not planned, because it's supposed to touch our hearts deep. Interesting that we're out here before we enter in. We're so used to entering in, finding our comfortable seat. And now we have the children playing with the rocks. But we specifically put these rocks out here because Jesus is the rock for each child. And I'm sure that they're able to do that with tactile senses, feeling the rock of Jesus every time they smash a rock into the ground. It's an awesome thing. This would be the time that you would come and enter in and receive the elements if you were waiting for there to be a time. So if the worship team would sing over the people.
Video clip or so we want to show three times after this. So I'm asking that all the children would be the first ones. You'd go straight up to the front in the church. Go straight up there so you can see this. Okay?
Crocodiles don't fear the rulers of the land. With one exception, Fang. Today, the pride's protector has earned his
keep. We're gonna show that two more times. Children, want you to watch it really carefully. Andy, can you flip this on? And I want you to watch it really carefully before you go to your class. On the river's bank. Okay, and we're talking about standing for Jesus. Jesus is the Lion of Judah. Jesus is the Lion of Judah who roars. And the Bible says the righteous are as bold as lions. It's a scripture in Proverbs. Proverbs 28, verse 1. Can you say Proverbs 28, 1, children? All children. The righteous are as bold as a lion. If you have wimpy faith and you're righteous, guess who wins in your life? Jesus wants to win in your life, but the crocodile fears nothing on land. The only thing the crocodile fears is the lion. The crocodile is an example of things that come to steal, kill, and destroy, to take joy away, to take things away from you and your family. That's what it's about. And to take away any power that you would have to stand for Jesus. So Jesus is powerful and he's righteous. And he is righteous. He says the righteousness of a lion is our boldness. Okay? So let's watch it again, guys. And listen.
The river pride feeds on a dead hippo washed up on the river's bank. Crocodiles don't fear the rulers of the land, with one exception, Fang. Today, the pride's protector has earned his keep.
Okay, we're going to watch it one more time. And notice that the lions are eating. Okay, they're together. The lions are sticking together. They're close together. And there's strength in that closeness.
Don't fear the rulers. Can you back it up?
Okay, so there's strength in the closeness of lions who are strong in Jesus together. So when they stick together, when they come together, when they're on the same ship, when there's all hands on deck, when they're working with each other, when they're serving each other, they're serving the admiral. And then one of the lions will see something that will try to come and take away what they're supposed to be doing, which is eating and feeding together so they can get stronger. Then that lion stands up and says, no way. Okay? And the crocodile backs up. Now, you're going to be going, you kids, to Green Light Missions, I think, after this. And I hope that that's mentioned. You can do that even while they're getting their snack. Talk about this, because this is a really intense video, isn't it? There's a lot of depth to it. Think about it. Think about what you just did when you took communion. Think about what you just thought about during communion. And the Lord says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and then boldness and courage will follow. Boldness and courage will follow, and our spirit will rise. That's the truth. Okay, Andy, let's show it our last time, and then the kids will be going. We'll have a few words here.
Crocodiles don't fear the rulers of the land, with one exception, Fang. Today, the pride's protector has earned his keep.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm going to read a short psalm to all of you. So, children, listen to this. You can see the picture up there. It's not going to move, but you can listen to the psalm, okay? This is Psalm 67, and it's for children. It's for adults. That's why we're created. God, be gracious to us and bless us. Cause his face to shine upon us, that your way would be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you will judge the people with uprightness and guide the nations on the earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its produce. God, our God, blesses us and blesses us, that all the ends of the earth may fear him. And a little bit into the next psalm says, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, and let those who hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish before God. Let the righteous be glad. Let them exult before God. Let them rejoice with gladness. Sing to the Lord. Sing praises to his name. Lift up a song for him who rides through the deserts, whose name is the Lord, and exalt before him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Bless these children as they go to kingdom land for a few minutes here. And Father, bless us as we attempt to reveal more of who you are in your nature, Jesus, that today we would leave filled up with an overflowing sense of gratitude and power as humility in us increases, for that's your desire. The righteous, bold lions are humble. They're not filled with pride. And what's so interesting, Lord, is that when you're in a group, it's a pride of lions. So funny you are, Jesus. But Father, if there's any pride in us because we judge and we criticize and we are lacking grace for what you are saying we need to do, Lord, let it fall off today so that we would be better equipped to see your nations come to know you in the brightness of your glory. Amen. Okay. Cool, huh, guys? You can go to Kingdom Land. That's fine. We're going to talk for a little bit. We have Awaken the Dawn coming up, and we've talked about it on Tuesday and Sunday for the last few weeks, and we're not going to talk about it right now. And if you're interested and you're stirred up after today, would be a good idea to check it out online. And you can sign up so that we know who's going, who's not going, so we have an idea. People want to stay together. They maybe want to travel together. They want to do things together. And that's understandable. So there is, that's happening, as you know. Awaken the Dawn, and then there's Rise Up, which is on Monday. And then Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, we'll be talking more about Rise Up. So if you're not sure, you can ask Carly, okay, about Awaken the Dawn and Rise Up and how we're doing what we're doing to see if we can partner together, because we do have a lot of things planned for that weekend. Amen? So I was really struggling this morning asking the Lord about this morning. I didn't know, as Pastor Bill said, what was going to happen and what was what we were going to do. So I was just as surprised. But he did tell me this morning, it's really important that you have communion today. I said, well, it's important every day, Lord. Are you saying today in church? Yes. And we try to listen to that clearly so it doesn't become a religious habit. But I really believe as the Christian church understands more and more of what that is meant to be, that there will be a greater awareness and people will be communing more often. So I really believe that. I wanted to mention to you a couple of things this morning, because the Lord has been taking me back to a lot of things that he has established in me for a long time. And I've been asking him, what's the next step? How do we steward this, God, in this season? And that's okay, hon. I don't really need it. It's all right. And I just was just asking him to release just a greater understanding, a greater spiritual understanding of what he's doing right now. I mean, we had a kayak, for God's sake, really, in the church last week. Okay, if you didn't get the message from that, then listen to it again. It's a really good message. It's kind of like this. It's just a different way. You got a kayak, and you got a message about, let's do this together. You got a bunch of lions feeding together, and then saying, you're not coming and taking from me. Okay, it's very similar. But the end goal is to go to the nations. The end goal is to see people walking in the fullness of their calling. People who have this strong heart to see revival around the world. If you don't think that you're a target for the enemy to pull that out a little bit or away from you, you are. And we are. All of us are. All around the world. You know, yes, the Lord's promising to fill this place. Yes, the Lord is promising to do all these things that we've talked about and we still continue to do. And we will. We will never stop saying, you said, you said, you said. Keep your eyes on me. I'll be fine. Keep your eyes on me and your family will be fine. Well, they're not fine, God. I know. My eyes are on you. I know. The way you look at life is different than the way I look at life. But don't forget what I said, because I talked to you in your dining room quite some time ago, and I told you that, and those were my words. I also told you that you were not going to die when your body was dying, when everybody else said you were dying, when the doctors said you were dying. I said you are dying in your physical body. It looks like that, yes, but you will not die. Who are you going to believe? Well, apparently I chose to believe him, because here I am. If I didn't choose to believe him, I don't really know. Would he have said, well, she didn't believe, so she's gone? But I was a lioness. I did believe, because that's what he said, because I asked him, and I commune with him, and I can hear him, and I can talk to him. And that's what he's asking us. We need to know his voice. We need to know him. We need to be aware. That lion was busy eating and was busy hanging out with everybody in the pride, right? All the other lions. That lion was really busy and probably was just so happy to have that hippo. It's like, whoa, that hippo is there, and nobody is, was it a hippo, right? Is that what he said? Okay. And nobody's taken what's mine away from me. Come on, think about that. Okay, we could have all the list of the things that we are in Christ, and we could talk about them and go, yes. And we could say, Jesus, I am your righteousness. Yes. Okay. All right. I am your son. I am your daughter. Yes. Yes, Jesus. Yes. Okay, well, that's going to be tested. And the enemy's going to try to take that away. He's going to try to water it down. If we have any measure of spiritual understanding or awareness of all that God says we are in him, you don't think the enemy's going to try to rip that right out? He has to. That's his job. And so when the crocodile came going, those turkeys, you know, there's a bunch of those lions, and I'm just going to come up on land, and I'm going to strut my stuff, and I'm scary, because I don't fear anything on land. Come on. Do you know what he expected? He expected the lions to run. He expected the lions to go, whoa. And so that lion went over to the water, didn't he? And he just looked at those eyeballs and said, don't even try it. And he's not going in the water after him. He's standing on his turf going, I don't think so. He didn't even let the croc get up on the land. He's like, excuse me, this is my land. This is my hippo. Get off. Back up. Kids probably don't get that. You can drive that home. You can help them. You want to give them a word picture? You want to give them an object lesson? Kids or grandkids or whatever, show them this again. Go, what do you see? Hey, let me tell you about Jesus. Let them grow in that inner roar. I want to be like that. Of course, because they're designed to be like that. We're designed to be like that. Are we like that? What would we do? Would we be the lion that says, excuse me, boys, I'm going over here. Boom. But you know what else? That lion also knew that there were other lions to back him up. That lion knew, you know, if this gets a little testy, if this guy starts trying to slap me around, I also have other lions here. But he didn't even have that in his being, it didn't seem. It's just like, I'll take care of this. Excuse me, keep eating. I've got things to do. And I'm going to let you know who you are, and I'm going to put you in your place. What if we were like that with disease? What if we were like that with everything that comes, knowing that this roaring one on the inside lives in us and says, will you do something? I live there. I want to do something. Why would this guy in Dayton listen to his wife, who just, I don't know what she said, and I don't even know if she told him to sneeze. You know, I don't know how that went. But he trusts her spiritually, and I know she was praying. And I don't know what he believes. He might say, well, you know, that's just what happens. I don't know. It doesn't matter. She does. And she said to me, she goes, well, I'm just going to tell you, it made a believer out of me. Well, she's already a believer. But when she saw this, after her husband had been suffering, realizing that, you know, there was a crocodile trying to steal from their family, from his health, from their life. He went after this with everything inside and realized, she did anyway, you know, that realized that she needed some help. So when I gave her a testimony, and I know how much power is in a testimony, I really believed. It wasn't just, oh God, make it fall out. It was, Lord, I've heard that you've done this. And you're going to do more. We've got to see you do more. You got to finish what you started, God. Without stealing, killing, and destroying, God. And so when I was sharing his testimony, it was very, very general testimony with her. And then he did this. It's almost as though, I don't know, the Lord unlocked something in him, and he just, yeah! And this whole thing unlodged, which was not normal at all. And so abnormal that he knew that, and it was extremely painful, but it was 10 times the size of whatever the doctors went up and tried to find. Maybe there was an obstruction in his nose, of sinuses up here. 10 times. And they couldn't see that? They couldn't find that? I don't know. I mean, can you see this? And this is for us. It's like, man, I want to get back to China. I feel it in my bones. It's like, you got to get to China. Don't you know that you were taking a bike ride with your husband years ago? Don't you remember that I had both of you stop and look up in the sky and you saw the continent or the country of China in the clouds? Do you remember that? Do you remember also that you saw an eagle taking off that direction at the same time in the same vision? Don't you remember that you saw two golden, like a bronze golden hands, like this, up in the sky? Don't you remember when you stopped and you're riding bikes, simple, together in unity, all right? And we're riding bikes and we look up there, and I said, do you see that? He says, you see that? Yeah, I see that. Whoa, what's that? That's alive in me. 1 year ago, before going to 3 weeks, I think, 2 weeks, 3 weeks before going to India, we're riding together in unity, and I have a crash that appeared as though I may have had a broken hip. It felt like I had a broken hip. Okay, the 10 people that gathered around me in the street thought I had a broken hip. The drivers of the ambulance thought she's probably got a broken hip. But what was driving me at that moment was, I can't have a broken hip, I have to go to India. That's not normal. Okay, we're not meant to be normal. This spirit in me was rising. The spirit, there's nothing good in me. This is the spirit rising. The glory goes to the spirit rising. The spirit rising. That's the point. And I don't apologize for that, because whenever Spirit of God rises, it's like, whoa, get out of the way. Get out of the way, MP, I'm rising. Get out of the way. Get your mind out of the way. Get your will out of the way. Get your emotions out of the way. I'm rising. Get your body out of the way. I'm trying. The Lord is so serious in this hour. You know, he's so serious. He says, if you knew the mustard seed of power and faith that's inside of you right now, you would be just running going, God, I want more. Fill me up. I want more, 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 more. I would be running more. And that's what he's calling us to do, to run so that we can roar. We've got to run so that we can roar. We've got to run to him so that we can roar. And when we're roaring, hey, things back off. Marriages change. Situations change. Children change. Families change. Businesses change. Health situations change. They have to, because that's the lion. That's the roaring lion. This is about him. And I had this desire this morning, and I was drinking coffee, and I was in bed going, Jesus, all I want to say to everybody simply, I felt so inadequate. I told him, I said, I just feel like I've got nothing. And I felt that way, but I knew it wasn't true because I know who I am in here. But that's how I felt. I said, I just wish I had just more time. You know, I wasn't feeling the roar, but I didn't need to feel a roar. I needed to commune with who I am and who he is, which I was doing. And I said, Jesus, all I want is that your name is glorified and your name is honored, and that every one of us would be in tandem together, that we would be so linked together, that you and nothing else but you would drive us, drive our families, drive our worship, drive the children's programs, drive the different things that we're about. And that would enable us to put the rest of the stuff down, and things would start to flow in a way where we can go in those deeper waters. That's God saying, I'm going. Are you on board with me? You betcha. But I want all of us that way, you know? And that's just where God is just stirring and stirring and stirring. So I was telling Carly and Haley this week, they stopped, or was it last week? They stopped over, and I was just reminded about this situation that I had when I was, it was in the late, oh, we got to wrap this up, the late 90s, or late 80s. Okay, before my life blew apart, before I knew Pastor Bill, before Frontline was ever thought about, you know, I'm serving the Lord, I'm on fire for him, and I'm a young mom in my 20s, and you know, it's like I love Jesus, I'm crazy for Jesus. I thought that's normal. And somebody from Christian Broadcasting Network, from one of the groups that supports that, a friend of mine who worked for them, actually Pastor Ken Martin's daughter, she worked for him. Pastor Ken is the man who ended up at Legends Nursing Home, and out of our connection together, he had a great influence in my life. We started Legends Nursing Home. Anyway, so his daughter called me. She worked for Pat Robertson. And her job was to go through and find the most ridiculous testimonies in the world and then have those people on. I mean, ridiculous, like you can't believe it. It's like it's not true, one of those, okay? So she calls me up in the middle of the day and she says, hey, MP, she was just home for the weekend. And she says, hey, MP, I just wanted to tell you, I got a friend, and, you know, he's a cool guy, but he's going to be speaking at this church tonight. We're part of this church. It was not really on fire, really. And I said, oh, wow, okay. She didn't tell me anything. She didn't tell me who he was or anything like that. And I was a lioness in training, for sure. Wanted to do everything for Jesus and kind of looked at my life, you know, and things that were going on. I can't remember what was going on that day, but it was intense stuff, you know. Life is how life is. And I said, well, let me think about that. Well, I learned a really strong lesson that day. And so she was prompted by the Lord to call me again. It was kind of like knock on the door. So she called me again around dinner time, where everything still was life and intense, you know, schedules and all that. And she said, you know, I really didn't tell you what I needed to tell you. I need to tell you who this person is. This person escaped from Romania in 1974 by a pillar of light and was completely, the guards in the guard towers with the dogs in communist Romania were completely blinded. And he has a ministry called Walk in the Light Ministries, and he's a supernatural dude, and you would love him, and you really need to come. I thanked her many years after that because she didn't shrink back. She didn't think she was pushing. She was impressed by the Lord to do something. So I stopped and I realized, Lord, I didn't give the attention to this simple, hey, do you think you'd like to go do this thing tonight? I didn't give the attention from your spirit that I needed to. That's what I needed to do. Because I think God's big enough to tell me, but I didn't hear it. I didn't ask him, apparently. I don't remember, but I probably didn't because I don't think he'd say no when it was him. So that was all. And as soon as she spoke the word of the Lord to help me as a younger believer like that, I said, I'll be there. I didn't know how I'd be there. It would go against everything that I thought I should do, honestly. But I love Jesus so much. So much that I knew it was him. I knew it was him speaking through somebody. I could recognize that, and I should have done. I should have done that the first time, but I didn't. And that's you know, you learn. But I'll tell you what, I never forgot it because I'm telling you now. And it's like, Lord, maybe it's your voice coming through somebody else, and maybe I need to pay attention, and maybe you're kindly trying to say something. And even if it's not clear and plain, but you know, as we mature in Jesus, then we want to know someone by the Spirit, and we don't throw up our flags and our boundaries. We change, and the Lord taught me that back then. So now I might seem like kind of a wacko or weirdo that you know you just flow, and you might change, and you might do something different. I do, and I may still miss things, but I really want to hear his voice. And if that means doing something that's uncomfortable, it's that I think is just, you know, whatever I think, then I don't care. I really don't care. You lose friends that way. But anyway, this book, I called Troy this morning. I said, do you have my Walk in the Light book? Because this is the name of the ministry from this guy, Eli Koroma from 1974. And he's an older gentleman now, and he escaped over here and then brought his family from Romania and everything. And the Lord told me, you'll be in Romania. I've never been there. I've been in missions 21 or 22 years now. And I have never been there yet. But he told me, and I know I will go. But that was the first country that I had on my heart, except for all the years as a kid when I would have an interest in Africa and draw things and do reports and stuff like that. But as far as telling me where I knew it from, God telling me, it was, he told me Romania, I just haven't gone there yet. And I haven't been disobedient. He just said it's not the time. So anyway, this book is his life. And here's what I want to tell you, and then I'm going to wrap it up. They're going to have a shortened time today. When I heard him speak, I knew I was in the presence of greatness in the area of humility. A person who had suffered, a person who understood persecution, and a person that wanted Jesus, even to the point of leaving his family, doing whatever it took, following the pillar of light, listening by the Spirit, interpreting dreams, all the things that we talk about now, way back in the beginning, in the late 80s, I was all over that, or in that, or desirous, or wanting that, and the Lord said, you know, you're a marked woman. You're the one that was in a crowd, a big church, bigger than this, where people are standing and singing, I've decided to follow Jesus, but you're marked by the one who's leading the band or whatever. And that was even before this. And when I told him how great it was to sing that song shortly after I was saved, he said, I saw you in the middle of the sea of people, and your face was glowing. Your arms were up in a place where they aren't. Okay? Oh, well, that must be because you're so spiritual. No, this is the power of God. This is God's power. He moves inside of us, and you cannot control the color of your face, and your arms go up, and your body moves because you can't help but worship the King. So when I sang, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back, I was filled with power that day. And it was shortly after that this thing happened. So back in the 80s, back in the 80s, that's so funny, isn't it? Isn't that a movie or something? Back to the Future. So he's standing about where I am right here. He's standing at that door, leaving the church. And he didn't know me, I didn't know him. And he stood there and he looked at me, and I didn't move. I couldn't move. And he looked at me and I looked at him. And there was this seemingly uncomfortable moment that wasn't uncomfortable. It would have been uncomfortable for most people. And he didn't say a word. I didn't say a word, but I felt as though Jesus was standing there looking right at me and right through me and smiled at me. And I knew that I knew, and I started crying. And it was like, you touched me, Jesus, from heaven with your mandate from heaven. Go to the nations. It's like, wow. Well, I've never been the same, really, since that time. So I had this desire this morning to get this book out and to read about the story, you know, of his life and all of that. And when I was going through a very big trial, I called him. He's an apostle and prophet, and he was in Yugoslavia, and I told him about my situation, and he said to me, he said, let me pray and fast for a few days and I'll call you. So he did, and he shared some very intense and helpful things for me that undergirded. He was a true lion in the spirit, was a real lion. It's like, oh, when I felt like I could barely, you know, make it. So I was really blessed, really, really blessed. And then I fast forward to 2009, and there's Pastor Jacob, who has suffered in prison and conquered territory and is out now taking Myanmar, which is Burma, and Nepal, in addition to India, after he has suffered intense persecution and torture for 4 years in prison. It's like, wow. And then fast forward to 2017, and one man I had heard about kind of checked out his book, but I couldn't tell you from beginning to end. you know, about his book. But I met him up in Pemba in Mozambique after the Moe's team left, and I told you guys about him. And he's known as the Heavenly Man, his brother Yun. And I've been really, really, really revisiting and rethinking the connection and what he has said and what I've been gleaning from this as well. And going through my notes, and, you know, he prayed over me and I'm on the ground. It's like, God, what are you doing? Where are you taking this body of people? What are you doing? You started so long ago. And he says to me this morning, the Lord, I am taking all of you into such a deep revelation of Jesus, of me, that you can expect that who I am and what I do in relation to who you know I am and who what I am going to do with that who you know, that understanding shall come to pass, and it will even be bigger than that, because it's going to blow your mind even past the understanding. Blow your mind is my word. So we're on holy ground in this season. Our little kiddo's clueless about that, more than likely. But the challenge is here today. Worship out in the front, you know, whatever God was meaning there, and the communion and such, and the different verses and things he's talking to us about now. I really believe he's stirring, and he's saying, if you will listen carefully, you'll be able to weigh things that aren't going to be for your very best. All things will come your way, and they might not feel so good, so well, or so special, but they will be from my hand. You must learn how to stand, because you're going to be facing crocodiles. You're going to be facing all kinds of things, and you already are in your life, and some of those crocodiles will have a season at you for a while. It doesn't always end like this in the short term, but it eventually ends like this, eventually. And that's what I'm learning, you know, in my life. I'm learning what that looks like. It's like, well, why isn't this moving and changing? Didn't I say that I would love you and follow you and serve you all the days of my life? Back 35, 6 years ago? Something like that. Lost track. Didn't I do that? Yes. You will see. But you must believe. If you believe, you will see my glory. And that's the end of this for today. Because the Lord was taking me to the account in Lazarus, and he was saying with Jesus, and he said, didn't I tell you if you would just believe, you would see my glory? I thought I was going to spend time going through that whole text. Maybe next time I preach, that's what he'll have me do. Maybe that's to whet your appetite to read it all again. And just read it. And John 24, 41, 45, it talks about the glory. But read the whole chapter. See what God does. Because I really believe he's going to show you something new individually for your life in the area of resurrection and life. He wants us to resurrect in this season. And he's going to use circumstances that we might cry. And we might go, oh. And he says, I knew you would, because I love you so much. I want to get to those places where you've got grave clothes on, but you don't think you do. Oh, that's hard to hear that, right? But it's a blessing, and it's in there for us, because he's raising us up as righteous lions and bold lions. The righteous are as bold as the lion. So, Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this day. Thank you, God, that we're gonna listen to you and do what you say, because you're sovereign, and we want your perfect will. And we need to change in our understanding of your sovereignty, and also our understanding of who you say you are to us, and who we are in you, so that we truly can understand what we do with the enemy in this battle that we are in this life. Let it be, Lord Jesus. Let it be today that we won't just take this as another nice little day, that we will be so stirred up, to go deeper in you in every way. Thank you, Jesus. You're so good. Thank you, Lord. Let it be. Let it be, Jesus. Amen. If any of you have a heartfelt interest in any more information about Pastor Jacob, and you wanted to hear more things about his life, I have a few of these. I don't have a bunch. And I ask that you don't pass it on because he's still in a place. Brother Yoon was thrown in prison, official big prison, at least 3 times, but he was arrested all the time. And God finally took him, God himself, and took him to another country because he was finished working there, and he still works with the underground churches, but he can't physically be in there for the safety of the other people. He doesn't care if his life is taken, but for the safety of the others, because he has escaped so much supernaturally, even though he has suffered so much, they want him dead. So Pastor Jacob has been in 4 years, and he's not now, and I pray never will be again. I'm not in charge of his life. But anyway, this is who we directly partner with right now, Agape Files, if you want one. And then we do support him. So if you want to join that, you can. God bless you guys. Amen. Amen. Have a great day. Can somebody go get the little kiddos? They're probably not expecting this, but we're finished.
This Friday is. So please let me know if you can make it out. It should be an amazing time. If you're intimidated about drawing a picture, Jara has an awesome testimony. She'd never done it last time. She came down and she got very accurate words of knowledge that were really awesome to share and impart the love of Jesus. So if you guys can make it out, hit me up. Let me know if you can. And then I believe also, are we doing worship at the 2 places? We're hoping. So yes. And then, yes, and we have a video to cover something that was done very recently from all of you generous hearts. So while I'm getting that, they can share their thing.
So some of you I had contacted about worship, don't worry, you'll hear from me. September 1st, obviously we're doing worship, but then also September 8th, there's a worship gathering called Gathered at Span Ministries in Talmadge, Ohio. So our brothers and sisters in Christ who've been here to lead worship and connect in heart with intercession and our 24/7 prayer and worship times, they've been here several times, and they've invited us to come join and partner with them. And I think it's really astounding and really beautiful to see the body of Christ come together, different churches and everything. So it's really fun. So we invite you to come to that. That'll be starting at 7 p.m. And then on the 14th, the Christian Music Fest has been rescheduled because it was canceled due to weather. Now to the 14th, and that's in Canton. It's all in your bulletin there as well. And then the other thing would have been, that's it. Those are the 3. Awaken the dawn. Come.
And then I just wanted to ask specifically for prayer regarding the campus ministries this year. So I said a little bit something a few weeks ago, but we've got a lot kicking off. So some of them kicked off this last week. Some are kicking off this week. Stark State starting this week. So if you guys could really pray for the different campus ministries. We're actually also, campus ministry teams know that we're saving a date for the campus teams to try to reach out specifically into Malone and Mount Union campuses. And there's a lot that's in flux with that that we really need some favor and wisdom on what's going to be a blessing to the campuses and what is really going to be effective for the kingdom. And then also just want to specifically ask for Jackson Impact as well, the high school group. So I went, Carly was doing a, there was an oopsie. It's kind of funny how God works through oopses, or this is how I understand it. But there was a mistake. We printed flyers that Carly took to freshman orientation over at Jackson High School. And the one was for a pizza party. It was supposed to be on the day that we actually have our meeting, and it was actually from a couple, she grabbed the wrong one. It was from like a Tuesday. So we had to go on Tuesday to do it because that's what the flyer said. But we weren't supposed to be there, but we were. So on Tuesdays, I'm driving there. The Lord actually puts on my heart about Jackson Impact and actually puts Aiden on my heart as, you know, maybe should ask and see if Aiden wants to be a part of that team as I'm going to Jackson High School. And then we had an incredible time there, Carly and I, just talking with people and had some people from very different backgrounds, witchcraft and stuff like that, that we got a really cool chance to talk with that were actually interested in maybe coming to the Bible study, the Edge, well, it's called Impact. But as I left Jackson High School, the Lord said, what about you? And so as I left, I was thinking about Aiden as I went, and as I left, the Lord said, hey, actually, this is something I want you to jump into. So I'm jumping into that Jackson High School. So I'm excited about that. As I said, I'm going back to high school. It's been a while. And my nickname in high school is not so reflective of my current state, and you can ask someone what that means. Never mind. You might be one who'd know, but Carl would know. Less reflective of this venture back to high school, but specifically I want to ask for prayer because as Aiden and Carly and I were joking, we have nowhere to go but up. We didn't have anyone actually show up on Thursday, and so we're really starting from ground zero. Some of those that were coming have all graduated last year. So it meets on Thursdays from right after school ends, 2:35 to 3:30. So if in the next week or two you meet anyone who goes to Jackson High School, that is the Lord giving you an opportunity. And I'm not kidding. I'm literally praying that you will run into Jackson High School students and invite them. We're asking the Lord for creative ways to develop more relationships. But please, what's that? Yes, I was going to ask Carly if she doesn't have them. I was going to get flyers. We'll have flyers back there you can take with you. Literally, just in faith, take a couple of them. I believe you're going to meet Jackson High School students in the next week, 2 weeks, and really encourage them to come. See you at the polls in a few weeks for high school. Does that on September 27th. And then we're asking the Lord to open up doors to do an assembly at Jackson High School. We're asking for just open doors to get into different areas. So what's that? At the high school? It'll be on the flyer, but it's Mr. Wirtz's classroom. Mr. Wirtz, he's been there 31 years and as a teacher. And so he allows Jackson Impact to meet there. The Impact was actually started about 13 years ago, through this body, through this, the people in this body. So we really want to see that step into where the Lord wants to take it more and more. But really, if you meet first Friday, you see anyone, if they've got a Jackson shirt on and they look like they're a high schooler, that is the Lord showing you that. I'm telling you, I am praying that you're going to, we are going to run into that at first Friday. So really asking for prayer for that specifically. And then also for the campus outreaches. The campus ministry teams know the dates, but so you guys can be praying. At the moment, we're shooting for September 22nd and 23rd, Friday night and Saturday afternoon evening at Mount Union. And then we're praying for an opening and the leading for Malone for the following weekend, the 29th and 30th. So it's a lot crammed into there, into a couple weekends. We're excited about that and what the Lord's going to do. So, but specifically as a body, really asking for prayer, please intercede for the campus ministries. We really believe God wants to explode, and pray for the team members. And if you see any Jackson High Schoolers, and if you're on campus Stark State, if you're on campus Malone, Mount Union, you'll be reaching out and letting people know about what we're doing. So I think that's it on that. One other thing I want to say about Awaken the Dawn is we have a place that we are looking into that's a larger place that could take an extra 6 people beyond our family, our whole family. The Lord put it on our hearts back at Azusa Now to go as a family. So we're looking at a place that we could do that and have 6 extra people that could do that Friday night through Monday night, like staying all through those nights. If I don't hear from enough people that they want to do that, we're just going to go find a place for ourselves. But I do have a place, if people are interested, that's just off the mall, not very far, but it's like a 6-minute drive, drop people off and come back, or Uber, they said, is really cheap from there, so.
Just really quickly, with campus ministries on Tuesday, at the very beginning of Tuesday night, it's a powerful prayer time for all the campus ministries, all the college ministries, for Stark, for Malone, for Mount Union, and also for the middle school and high school, junior high ministries, and Jackson Impact has started, our kids started that 13 years ago, our own kids. There's a legacy there, and it's for our body as well here, obviously. But also Ashley has been out at Pfeiffer Middle School in Perry District for 9, 10, 13, how many years? So okay, Pfeiffer for 5 and teaching forever. But anyway, she's been leading this really dynamic ministry out there for a Bible club. And so we're praying for that as well. So we're also going to include, we're asking you guys in your prayers to include Perry
in that, because Perry is beginning to explode as well. And we're going to see what God wants us to do there. And also, Jamie has had on her heart McKinley. I mean, God is just doing something unique, because he's given us an evangelistic heart for these places. And Kyle and Brenda are overseeing the Malone campus, and they have a team. We're really excited about that. Troy's going to share whatever about all the ministries later. But there's a lot of things happening right now in the area of what God wants to do here, with the goal of let's evangelize the world. So, you know, it's not one or the other. It's both and more. And that's why there's an intensity in this ministry. So watch the video. I don't know what it is.
Finally, huh?
Yes!
Not right now.
Yes, so, wow. Thank you. Joe and Leslie, say thank you. You guys have a good day. Remember, today we have Imparty. Yes, at the JK residence. And then also, if you're interested in the Frontline School of Media and Communication, we have some dates on the calendar for some sessions, and we're going to get that ball rolling. So if you're interested in that, please see me, see Mike McCray. And we really believe in, with all that the Lord's doing in this time, we want to jump in and release his heart for the things that are coming up. So you are released. Take two flyers for Jackson Impact in the foyer.